Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Kill Chain Defending America in the Future of High-Tech Warfare is a non-fiction defense analysis by Christian Brose, a former staff director of the Senate Armed Services Committee and longtime national security advisor. The book examines why the United States military, despite vast budgets and advanced weapons, may be poorly prepared for a future conflict against technologically capable rivals, especially China. Brose argues that the central issue is not simply a lack of spending, but a mismatch between legacy military systems and the changing character of war. His focus is the kill chain, the process by which forces detect threats, make decisions, and act before an adversary can do the same. The book combines strategic warning, institutional critique, and policy prescription. It is written for defense professionals and general readers who want to understand how artificial intelligence, autonomy, networks, cyber capabilities, and acquisition reform could reshape American military power. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the kill chain as the central measure of military effectiveness, Brose frames modern warfare around the ability to understand, decide, and act faster than an opponent. In this view, military power is not measured mainly by the number of aircraft, ships, or armored vehicles a country possesses, but by how effectively its sensors, commanders, data systems, and weapons are connected. A force with superior individual platforms can still fail if it cannot find targets, share information, make timely decisions, and execute coordinated actions under stress. This is why the kill chain becomes the organizing concept of the book. Brose treats it as a practical mechanism, rather than a slogan. Information must move from detection to decision to action before the enemy can disrupt the process. The argument matters because future adversaries will not try to defeat the United States symmetrically. They will seek to blind sensors, jam communications, attack command networks, and exploit delays in decision-making. The book therefore shifts attention from visible hardware to the connective tissue of warfare. Secondly, why platform-centric dominance has become a strategic vulnerability. A major theme of the kill chain is that the United States built much of its post-Cold War military around small numbers of exquisite, expensive, and difficult-to-replace platforms. Stealth aircraft, aircraft carriers, satellites, and precision weapons can be highly capable, but Brose argues that their cost and scarcity create fragility. If a force depends on a few critical assets, an adversary can focus on disabling the links that make those assets useful. Long-range missiles, electronic warfare, cyber attacks, anti-satellite weapons, and attacks on logistics can reduce the operational value of even the most advanced platforms. This critique is especially connected to China, whose military modernization has emphasized ways to offset American strengths rather than copy them directly. Brose does not argue that legacy systems are useless. Rather, he argues that over-reliance on them creates a force that may be too slow to adapt and too brittle in a high-intensity conflict. The implication is that resilience, redundancy, and distributed capacity matter as much as peak performance. Thirdly, artificial intelligence and autonomy as tools for faster battlefield decisions. Brose presents artificial intelligence, autonomous systems, and advanced software as essential to shortening and strengthening future kill chains. The reasoning is practical. Modern battlefields generate more data than human operators can process quickly, especially when sensors, drones, satellites, cyber systems, and electronic signals are all producing information at once. AI can help identify patterns, prioritize threats, recommend actions, and coordinate large numbers of systems more rapidly than traditional command processes. Autonomous and unmanned platforms can also extend military reach while reducing risk to personnel and lowering the cost of mass. At the same time, the book distinguishes between human command and machine control. Brose emphasizes that humans should set objectives and retain responsibility, while machines handle tasks that require speed, scale, and continuous coordination. This argument is one of the book's most consequential and controversial elements. It highlights a genuine operational need, but it also raises questions about reliability, escalation, accountability, and the security of network military systems. Fourthly, defense bureaucracy and acquisition incentives as obstacles to adaptation. The kill chain is not only about technology, it is also a critique of the institutions that decide what technology the military buys and how quickly it can change. Brose argues that the Department of Defense and the defense industrial base often reward continuity, risk avoidance, and large established programs rather than experimentation. Long acquisition timelines can make systems outdated before they are fielded, while budget politics can protect legacy platforms even when strategic conditions have changed. This institutional problem is central to the book because emerging technologies often develop fastest outside the traditional defense procurement system. Commercial advances in software, cloud computing, robotics, and artificial intelligence do not fit neatly into older acquisition models built around hardware-heavy programs. Rose calls for empowering innovators, accepting more failure and experimentation, and creating incentives for faster adoption. The point is not that bureaucracy alone explains every weakness, but that a slow system cannot compete effectively in a military environment where speed, iteration, and software updates are operational advantages. Lastly, deterrence through distributed networks rather than uncontested dominance. Rose's strategic prescription is not simply to win wars after they begin, but to prevent them by making aggression too difficult and costly. He argues that the United States should move toward a more distributed, resilient, and adaptive force built from many connected systems, including lower cost and attritable assets. Such a force would be harder to paralyze because it would not depend on a few vulnerable platforms or centralized nodes. This idea also changes the meaning of deterrence. Instead of relying on the assumption that American dominance is obvious and overwhelming, deterrence would depend on convincing adversaries that the United States can keep operating even under attack and can close kill chains faster in contested environments. The book's final implication is that America may need to defend its interests without the easy superiority it enjoyed after the Cold War. This is a more demanding form of strategy. It requires technological modernization, industrial capacity, realistic war planning, and public understanding of why military adaptation matters. In conclusion, The Kill Chain is best suited for readers interested in national security, defense technology, great power competition, military innovation, and the future of war. Policymakers, officers, defense industry professionals, analysts, and informed citizens will benefit from its clear explanation of why advanced weapons alone do not guarantee military effectiveness. Its practical value lies in showing how sensors, software, command systems, autonomous platforms, logistics, and procurement decisions interact as parts of one larger system. Intellectually, the book helps readers move beyond familiar debates about defense spending levels and toward a more precise question whether the United States is buying and organizing the right capabilities for the wars it may actually face, compared with many books on future warfare. Rose's work stands out because it combines an insider's understanding of Congress and defense acquisition with a focused operational concept. It is less speculative than broad futurist writing and more strategically accessible than technical defense studies. The book's limitations are also worth noting. It gives less sustained attention to ethical concerns around autonomy and may place strong confidence in technological solutions. Even so, its distinctive contribution is a coherent argument that institutional adaptation, not just invention, will determine whether American military power remains credible. If you would like to support Christian Brose, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.